Welcome to How to Make It Work, the radio show and podcast where we dive into real stories of people making life work in their own unique way. I'm your host, Annika. Let's get started. Welcome back to How to Make It Work. Today, I'm in the studio with Christy Whitehouse. Christy is a freelance medical writer. She studied biomedical science and now writes and edits complex medical content for healthcare professionals and patients. Christy is originally from the UK and now living the digital nomad life. She's in that in-between space of traveling, working remotely, and figuring out where to land next. I guess a lot of people here in Raglan might know how that feels like. Stay tuned to find out more about Christy's professional and personal journey. So great to have you here.
Thank you for having me. That was a great intro.
Everything correct?
It was, yeah. Yeah. It's funny hearing you call me a digital nomad because I suppose I am, but I don't think of myself as being that. So, yeah.
Let's start out about that digital nomad. It's kind of a recent phenomena, I'd say. And I think it's a dream for so many people to just be flexible and travel while working. And I want to talk about this in this episode and kind of de-romanticize the digital nomad's lifestyle, because I came to New Zealand as a digital nomad and it's not as easy as everybody thinks.
Yeah.
So let's start with your professional journey. So how did you even get into becoming a digital nomad? You are a medical writer. Maybe you can start from the beginning.
Yeah, okay. I'll try and keep it brief because I feel like I could talk for kind of ages about this. But so essentially, I kind of fell into medical writing. So I studied biomedical science at uni, and then I went on to do a master's in biomedical research. And I mean, the reasons behind me kind of choosing that at the time, looking back on it, probably wasn't the right decision for me, but now it is, considering it's kind of led me to where I am. Yeah, I went into biomedical research and I was terrible at it. It was too zoomed in. Like I found that with science, I like the bigger picture, and with research, it was so zoomed in and so kind of technical. I kind of lost track of why I was doing it. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't really care, and I was rubbish. I was really clumsy. I dropped things all the time.
In the lab.
I dropped a whole, like 200 vials of recombinant viruses on the floor.
Oh,
and I was just like, oh my God. And I went and like called my supervisor, and it was like all hands on deck. Everyone came running in, trying to get all these little vials on ice so that they didn't kind of, weren't destroyed. And I just thought, I don't care about this enough to kind of carry on with this. So when I finished that degree, I went traveling for a bit, and I thought, well, what do I want to do with my life? Like, all my friends from my course were going on to be doctors, and I thought, I don't want to be a doctor. And I was like, what do I do? Like, one job that came up was being a medical sales rep, but I'd be rubbish at that. So I thought, I can't do that. And then I just kind of came across this role, and it wasn't actually medical writing, it was an entry level role into so the industry is called medical communications. And I thought, I'll give it a go. Like, my partner at the time and my best friends were moving to London, and it was just kind of easy. I could just kind of go with them, moved in with my best mate, and so I got my first job, and then I kind of moved into a role where I was straddling writing and account handling, so being like the client side, like a project manager. But I always kind of wanted to do more of the writing side of things. And then it was when I moved, I then moved out to Australia. And when I moved to Australia, I got a job there as a full-time medical writer. And that role was actually really good because it kind of opened me up to the, I mean, you said in the intro about kind of the patient communications, it opened me up to those projects, which I loved, because you can kind of be more creative and you're writing for like the patient is like the end goal. You want to help the patient, and you're kind of writing directly for them. And I kind of worked on patient support programs, so people who may be diagnosed with a new disease and they don't know anything about the disease or the drug that they're being prescribed, and it's all really scary and new. And so it's like materials to support them through that process. And I really loved that. And then I came back to the UK, and I wanted to move back to Cornwall, but there's no medical communications in Cornwall because Cornwall's far from big cities. Like, in the UK, if you want to work in med comms, you need to be based really in London or Manchester.
And you're originally from Cornwall?
Cornwall, yeah. So I actually got a remote role, and so I worked from home in Cornwall, but I was full-time employed by a company in Manchester.
Was that remote role, was that during COVID or before? After?
So I left Australia because of COVID. So I loved Australia. I was there for 2 years. But because I was on a work-sponsored visa, the government wouldn't let me leave and come back into the country. They'd let people with residency or citizenship do that, but for people like me, they wouldn't let you come back into the country. And after a year, I got homesick. I missed everyone, so I gave up my visa and went home, which was really sad. But I mean, it's kind of led me to where I am now. So,
because I think that's really interesting that you had a job in Manchester, but you could work remotely from home from Cornwall. And I feel like that's something that maybe through the COVID pandemic. Or the COVID pandemic has made it possible, because I imagine before, they probably would have wanted you to be there in the office.
And actually, while I was working for that company, I think people were going in once or twice a week. And then while I was working for them, they were getting people to go back in more often, which, I mean, for graduates, I agree with, because I think you need to be around people to learn off them. I don't think it's good to be at home all the time, and also for our social skills. I think it's going to have a massive impact on social skills if people are just at home all the time. I worked for them for a couple of years, and then things in my life were changing. I went off traveling again for a bit, and then when I came back, I thought, I don't know where I want to be. And so I thought, I'm just going to make the leap and go freelance. I essentially was, I felt like I was freelance anyway, working remotely from Cornwall. I just wasn't getting paid the higher rate. So if you're freelance, you earn more. Obviously, you don't have the perks of like sick pay or holiday pay. But so I just thought, when I got back, I just thought, I'm just going to give it a go. And I think it took me about a month to get my first contract. But I'm really fortunate that the company I worked for in London was a big company, and then all of my colleagues have now dispersed and gone to different companies. And so I just like bombarded everyone on LinkedIn and was like, I've gone freelance. If you've got any projects, let me know. And so that's how I get my work, mainly through old colleagues, which is great because I get to work with them again. And obviously they've progressed up the ladder, so they're now at like director level, so it's a lot easier to get those roles.
You've already mentioned a couple of things that might be challenges for a digital nomad. I want to know more about medical writing. How does that look like for someone who works in a day-to-day? Like, what kind of projects do you do, maybe for someone who's never heard about?
So it can be really broad. Some medical writers will kind of specialize in publications. So they're kind of ghost writers. So when a paper gets published, they will write it, if it's industry sponsored. So by that, I mean sponsored by a pharmaceutical company. They will write it on behalf of the authors, like the scientists, and those scientists will like review the paper and like obviously give comments, but a medical writer will kind of like help write it. I touched on that at the beginning of my career, but that's not my bag at all, so I don't do that. My focus has been on commercial projects, so they're kind of like marketing materials, and they're promotional, and it's kind of pulling out the data from like phase 3 clinical trials for a drug, and then using that to create a story. Obviously it has to be completely factually correct, like there's very strict regulations in the pharmaceutical industry, but it's kind of a way, you know, getting healthcare professionals to understand the data, what it means for a patient, and then like use that drug over another drug. Within marketing, that also encompasses writing for patients, which I've kind of touched on already, like patient support programs, patient materials, like that can even be, it can be brochures, but it can also be an injection video. So if someone has diabetes and they need to inject insulin, we can create a video that shows them how to do that so that they can look back over it when they go home, after their training, they go home and have to inject this drug themselves. They've got this video to kind of look back on. So for that, I would write the script, and then I'd work with a designer who would kind of obviously do the visuals and bring it to life. So I love that side of it. And then there's also the other area that I really love is medical education, and that's kind of training modules for healthcare professionals. So say you've got a GP, they obviously have to have a really broad knowledge, like they've got people coming to them with everything, and so it's helping upskill them in areas that maybe they don't know as well. So I love that because it's kind of doing a lot of research into a disease area and then thinking about, right, how do I make a module that will, they'll learn from it what they need to learn, but it's also interactive and engaging and interesting, and it's not just dull. Like, obviously, most people will have seen some training modules you have to do for, I don't know, when you work in a company, and they can be really dull. And it's, so it's, yeah, how can you make it engaging, essentially?
Mm. It's so cool to see that you didn't do any communications in your undergrad or in
I just did a science degree, yeah.
Yeah, it's so cool to see that how you can get into those kind of jobs even though you don't have, you know.
Yeah, well, if I had my time again, I think it would have been better for me to do like a science communications master's. Mm. But saying that, companies want you to either have a master's or ideally a PhD because mm-hmm. they want you to be able to understand data. Well, certain companies do anyway. So yeah, it is interesting though that
it's cool to see the different paths you can take.
Yeah.
And then end up in a different, you know, job that you, I guess, imagined when you started biomedical science.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you said you went freelance because you wanted to travel again, is that right?
No, I went traveling, and when I came back from traveling, I didn't know where I wanted to be. Like I'd been in Cornwall, but I wasn't feeling quite settled there, like it was the place for me. I just wasn't quite sure where I wanted to be, and I thought if I go freelance, I don't have to worry about where I am and potentially get into an office every now and then, because when I worked for the company in Manchester, I would go up every now and then so that I'd like show my face and everything. Makes sense to go freelance and just kind of see what happened with that. And the other thing as well with medical writing, because it's so intense in terms of being like sat behind your laptop like 7 hours a day, 5 days a week, I got burnout, and I was finding that too much. Going freelance allowed me to drop my days. I'm like a very outdoorsy person, and I wanted to be in the outdoors as well and like explore what else I could do alongside writing. So I dropped my hours to 3 days a week, which worked so nicely because I was able to have three solid days in front of the laptop just writing. And then I'd have 4 days, obviously including the weekend, to be outdoors in nature, doing other things and kind of, yeah, seeing what else kind of I was interested in that I could potentially go into as like a job, like have two jobs basically. Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's really good about freelancing, is that you can just choose your hours yourself,
yeah,
and choose when you want to work, and the work-life balance is just so much better.
Yeah, definitely.
Because one of my questions was what was the biggest shift going from a full-time job in an office to freelance? But I guess you've already mentioned.
I think it would be the kind of being able to drop my hours, because as well, what I've kind of realized over my I've been working now in this career for 10 years, is that actually an office environment isn't good for me. Mm. And I think I knew it from the start, like the very first day I went into an office, I think I knew this isn't right for me. Like my brain can't take this being in a very like clinical environment behind a screen all day long. And yeah, it's allowed me to take that step back and have those days to do what we were meant to do, which is to be outdoors in nature. And it gives my head that kind of space. So I don't think I could ever go back to 5 days in an office. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't do it.
I actually haven't experienced that yet.
Oh really? You're lucky.
Yeah, I graduated and started freelancing.
Oh,
but
right,
I cannot imagine sitting in an office, 40 hours a week.
Yeah, it just, even in my very first job, I used to get really bad headaches, and I'd feel sick and nauseous, and I couldn't work out what it was. And I went to the doctors and I went to the opticians, and they were like, okay, you need glasses, but your eyesight is not that bad. All I needed it for was the screens, but I put it down to that. But I actually think now it was because that environment is just so unnatural. Mm. And I'm very sensitive to lights as well. And so if some offices are very like, I don't know, it's just very, the only way I can describe it is very clinical and very harsh lighting.
Yeah.
And I just struggle with that. Mm-hmm. Whereas now, I mean, the other day I went and sat in my van up on the cliffs and worked in my van, and it was amazing. I just had the view out across the bay, and it was, yeah, I loved it. And it's nice to find a way of kind of incorporating my job, which is like, obviously you need an income, like you need to work, but being able to kind of combine it with nature and the things that make me feel good about myself.
So you said you started freelance because you weren't sure where you wanted to be in the UK. Now you find yourself on the other side of the world in New Zealand.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell us more about that.
I went through a huge life change last year. I spent last year kind of just figuring out what made me feel good and what would be my next steps, because it was just my whole life got turned upside down. Mm. New Zealand kept coming to me. New Zealand's always somewhere that I've wanted to come to, and I was gutted I didn't make it over here when I lived in Australia, because it was always a plan to come over for a holiday, but obviously because of COVID I couldn't do that. Over the year I worked with a life coach who was incredible, and I really just kind of sunk into how I felt about things, and everything was kind of pointing me towards New Zealand. But I'd never traveled before by myself, and so that was, the thought of that was terrifying. I've always had someone by my side, and I built up to it, and then I made the decision, and so I came out here in the beginning of February. And I bought myself a van. I took a couple of months off work, just so that I could travel around. So I got myself a van, traveled around the South Island, which was amazing. And I met so many women doing the same thing, which was felt so empowering. It was so cool to meet all these women who are like a similar age to me, because I think I went through a period of feeling like there's something wrong with me. Like I'm in my 30s, like I should be settled now. But to meet lots of other people doing the same thing was so great. I came up to the North Island. I'd never planned to come to Raglan, but the world directed me here. And it's just been, I mean, I've been here 2 weeks and it's been amazing. It's got all of the things that I need at the moment in my life to kind of support me, like yoga, breathwork, meditation, the sea. The sea is like a big one for me. Being by the sea just calms me. Yeah, I've been out surfing, which I love, like getting back into that because I haven't surfed in a while, and just meeting like so many lovely people. And I think because it's like a really nice size here, like because it's small, but it's also, it's not too small, you know, like there's enough going on. So I really believe that the world guided me here for a reason, and I'm just taking it day by day now and just seeing what comes of it. And as long as it feels right, then I'll stick around.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Free FM.
Aló, ¿me escuchan, amigos? Soy Denise y te invito a que me acompañes en Aló Taroa, el espacio de la comunidad latina en Nueva Zelanda. Pero también para quienes se suman a estas historias que nos inspiran, emocionan y nos hacen reflexionar desde esta hermosa isla del Pacífico. Me escuchas todos los sábados a las 7 de la noche por Free FM 89.0, pero también te invito a que me sigas en redes sociales como Aloha Taroa. Te espero. Adiós.
Ever dreamed of hosting your own radio show? Free FM can make it happen. We're looking for new voices to join our independent community media family. Don't worry if you've never been behind a mic. We'll help you create a professional weekly series that stands out. Youth, migrants, people with issues, or perspectives not given time in mainstream media. We want to hear from you. Visit freefm.org.nz and click Uru Atu. Get involved. Free FM, charting a future where community voices remain at the heart of Aotearoa's media landscape.
You're in the in-between space of working, traveling, figuring out what you want next in life. And I think so many people in Raglan can relate. Yeah. I actually have a similar story. When I came to New Zealand, I had an online job. So I was working as a digital nomad, living in my van, traveling the South Island by myself.
Nice.
So, you know, and it wasn't the first time I was traveling by myself, but I actually got quite lonely traveling the South Island by myself.
There were periods when I felt lonely as well, but I feel like I needed to go through that. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I would find that when I'd feel lonely, then something would pop up. For instance, I was on the West Coast and I'd had a really lovely like chilled few days after it, because I did lots of hiking in the South Island. I guess everyone does lots of hiking in the South Island. Had a lovely like chilled few days, and then I was like, okay, I'm kind of ready to be around people again. And then my friend who I'd met her, at the time, I guess I couldn't really call her a friend, I'd literally met her for a couple of hours, and we'd both said, oh, we're both interested in doing this hike in the Nelson Lakes National Park. And she texted me and was like, I'm going to go. It was like a 6-day hike. And she texted me saying, oh, I'm going to go do this hike in the next couple of days. If you're like in the area, like we could link up. And I was actually planning on going the day after her. But I was like, no, I'm ready for company now. So I went the day that she went and we had the most amazing week. We got on so well and we've like since met up loads like on the rest of our travels. So it feels like whenever that kind of feeling would come up, someone would come along. I don't know if you had a similar experience.
I think in general traveling, it feels like when you're traveling by yourself, like anything can happen and you're all by yourself, but you always make friends. You know, you're never alone.
Yeah, exactly.
But I feel like when I was traveling on the South Island, I went to like freedom camping spots, but a lot of people there were couples.
Yes, I found that as well. Yeah.
And they were not really open to talk.
Yeah, and also you don't want to intrude.
Yeah.
I always feel like, oh, I don't want to be that person that's like, that they're then thinking, oh God, like who's this person that just keeps talking to me?
Yeah. Yeah. But I did meet some really incredible women. Like one I just remember now because we did the Angelus Hut hike together.
Oh yeah, it's so that good,
was,
isn't it?
Yeah, it was really amazing. And it's funny how some people come into your life just for a weekend and then you never talk to them again, but it's totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they come into your life because you're meant, there's something you're meant to learn from them or something that they're kind of bringing to you or you to them for that, for that time in your life.
In the beginning, you took off work to just travel. Mm-hmm. And then when you started working again, how was that transition to working in your van?
So it actually was fine. It was really lucky. The company that I worked with last year, I ended up working with them, I think, for most of the year. They messaged me and they were just like, are you free again? We need work. We need support. And I was like, perfect. It's just kind of come to me, which was so lucky. I actually was on the South Island still when I started work again. And I just went to libraries, which I've never worked in a library before. But my friend that I did the Nelson Lakes National Park with, she had been going to libraries a lot to do like sewing randomly. I didn't even know you could do sewing in a library. But I think because she'd been to libraries, I thought, oh, maybe I could go to a library instead, because I just thought cafes, but they're a bit noisy. Mm. So I just went along to libraries, and it's great because it's free. It's got Wi-Fi, it's quiet, there's a proper desk. And it was actually quite nice. Like when I was on the South Island, I was like, because I traveled around for so many weeks, and it was amazing doing, you know, whatever I wanted to do. But it was nice to have a bit of structure back to my life. Mm-hmm. And then here, I do a mix of going to the local co-working space, which I love, which is, I met some really amazing people there.
Shout out to Tom and Lisa.
Yeah, shout out to Tom and Lisa. They're great. And I also go to the library here as well, or in my van. And I'm at the moment doing 4 days a week because I've had like a couple of months off and I just need to get some money back in, which I know this is going to sound bad because I'm not doing 5 days a week, but four days a week feels tough. I think 3 days is like my kind of happy space place with it. It is nice being back in a routine. I think because I've had the last couple of months, I've literally been able to do what I want, and now I'm fitting in work, but then I'm also trying to fit in other things around it, like exercise, or I'm also doing some like coaching training and trying to fit all of those things around it. I do start to feel that little bit of stress again, like, how am I going to fit everything in? But of course I can fit in. It's just adjusting to kind of that routine again. It's nice to have some money coming back in again. Seeing as I've spent all my savings.
Yeah. Taking it day by day, I think that's a good...
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, libraries, that was my go-to as well when I was traveling, especially because I didn't have any electricity in my van, so I had to charge my laptop and phone. But there's one thing that's really good about New Zealand, the free libraries and the free like public toilets all over.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it? Yeah, they're everywhere. And there's some beautiful libraries, like on the South Island, I can't remember the name of the place I was, but I was on my way to do the Abel Tasman, so it was Motueka or something like that. Motueka. I'm really bad with...
I think it was Motueka.
Motueka. I find the names of places in New Zealand so hard to remember. But the library there was amazing. It was like, it was, yeah, it was really nice. I was like, I can't believe I get this for free.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, libraries are good.
It was almost like, it felt like home, every library.
Yeah.
A little bit, same feeling.
And you're in that kind of work mode as well, because it's quiet and other people in there are working.
Mm.
But it also made me feel, took me back to like my uni days when I used to go and work in the library.
Yes.
At uni. I was like, oh, I haven't done this in years.
I kind of like libraries though.
Yeah. Well, it also made me think, oh, I need to get a library card and actually take some books out rather than always buying books.
I should get one too. I've been in Raglan for over 2 years and I still don't have a library card. Also, what you're saying about structure is really important, because actually that's something that I'm missing. I don't have the structure or the routine, and it makes it really hard to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. You really need to have the discipline and sit down and...
How do you do it then? Do you try and plan out your days, like carve out specific time for your work?
No, I work differently. I work with deadlines.
Right, okay.
So I'm the queen of procrastination, and then when the deadline comes close, I work like for 4 days straight,
yeah,
not having a break.
Oh,
and I don't think that's healthy. So that's something I need to work on, you know, build a healthy routine.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the de-romanticizing digital nomad life comes in, because it's not easy.
No.
You know? There's challenges too. What's the main challenge for you?
My main challenge is actually that my company is in the UK.
Mm.
And so if something is taking me longer than so what they'll do is they'll send me a brief and I will get it overnight, because obviously it's different hours, and there's normally a time estimate to say this should take you, I don't know, 5 hours. If something is taking me longer, I know, I've worked in this industry long enough, I know that that's fine. Like, it's not taking me longer for any other reason than the estimate's just a bit out.
Mm.
Which happens, like, that's not a problem. But if I was based in the UK, that would be fine, because I could literally contact them and say, hey, this is taking a bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that okay? But because they're all asleep when I'm working, that does stress me out a little bit, because I can't contact them and say, this is taking longer, for them to be able to say to me, oh, that's fine, crack on with it. Or, oh, actually, don't spend longer on it. Like, we don't have the budget for it. You know, and like shift things around. I have to kind of just make that decision myself,
mm-hmm,
and hope that it's the right one. And it does work out. It has worked. Like, cause last week I did feel a little bit stressed about that, but it did work out fine. I just kind of obviously justified to them why I'd made a decision to do what I did. But that is something that has been a challenge that I guess I hadn't really anticipated.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely something that freelancers have to work around. They really have to be independent.
Yeah.
And the time zones is a big, big one too.
Yeah.
I was lucky with my online job. I was working for a US American company, so it didn't matter if I was in Europe or here. The time zone was different anyways.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And, but yeah, last week I had Wes Rogers on the mics, and he used to write for the WSL. So he did write about surf competitions, and he said how hard it was watching the competitions at like 2 a.m. in the morning, because he was in the U.S. and then the competitions were in Europe. You know, like,
okay, yeah.
You know, that's something that you don't see on Instagram when you see digital nomads living their best lives.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not about living your best life. I mean, work is involved as well.
Yeah. Yeah, getting up in the night to have to work, that would be so tough.
Nah, yeah, I couldn't do that.
No, I couldn't either.
You already mentioned that you have a little bit of a change going on, maybe also professionally, so you're looking into coaching workshops. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, so I worked with a life coach last year, and yeah, through this big life change that I had last year, everything's kind of shifted for me. So I think from my career, I'm very left brain driven, I'm very like academic and kind of logical thinker, and I used to kind of not really believe in spirituality, or, you know, I don't know, I just didn't put any weight on it. I didn't think it was anything, there was anything to it. And then through what happened last year, I needed help finding a way forward. And so I worked with a life coach in the UK, and she was actually recommended to me by a friend, but she is just amazing, like changed my life totally. And kind of helped me to understand my brain. I think I always thought life coaching was like very wishy-washy, and it's not regulated. There's no regulations around it. It's not like therapy, where a therapist, where you need to go and have go to university and have a degree. it's yeah, anyone can call themselves a life coach. So mm-hmm. I was very aware of that. So when I worked with my life coach, I was quite kind of, it was important to me that she'd got the qualifications in coaching to be able to help, because it was a big thing that I needed help with. But she just really helped me understand my brain, understand my mind, how it works. There's a lot of psychology and neuroscience that goes into it, which I guess you know from your chat with Steph, mm-hmm. The local life coach here.
Yeah, that's one of the episodes. If you're listening right now and you want to know more about rewiring your brain and life coaching, listen to the episode with Steph.
Yeah, because I was listening to it yeah. earlier, and she's amazing as well. But yeah, over the last year, all these, like, there's NLP, neurolinguistic programming that my life coach was trained in, and she kind of used all these techniques and just shifted my whole perspective on everything, and kind of made me understand that I have a choice in how I react to things. I used to be very reactive and very stressy. Like, I would get stressed very easily. I didn't realize that I could choose not to be like that. You don't have to live that way. And so, yeah, I just worked with her over the year, read a lot of books by neuroscientists, because mm-hmm. I find that side of it really interesting, like how your brain works, why it fires in certain ways, neuroplasticity, where you can rewire your brain. And it takes time and it takes effort. I've shifted everything with how I react to things. Mm-hmm. And it's funny now, because I, like you mentioned Angela's Hut earlier, mm-hmm. in Nelson Lakes mm-hmm. National Park. When I was there, it's funny what I see from other people now. So I was there, and obviously, like, the bunk room in there has got like 28 people in it. Like, it's your lay side by side, yeah. like sardines in these bunk beds. And I think when you go to those huts, you go into it knowing I'm not going to sleep well. There's going to be people snoring. There's going to be people getting up, moving around. You know, I'm not going there for like a hotel. And this particular hut, there was a door that was banging. I don't know if it was the same when you were there, but basically this door, the latch wasn't catching. And so whenever anyone went in and out, it would bang. Mm-hmm. And I, of course, noticed it. Like, it kept me awake, but I kind of just was like, oh, there's nothing I can do about it. Like, people aren't doing it on purpose. It's just one of those things. And in the morning, there was this guy, and he was so angry, and he was just like full of rage, and he was like, people are so like inconsiderate, and he was going off on one, and he was having a go at the hut warden about it. And I was watching him thinking, this is so sad, because it was the most incredible morning. Like, mm-hmm. This hut is in the most beautiful spot, isn't it? Right in the mountains, there's this beautiful lake. Mm-hmm. The sun was rising, like the colors were incredible. And I was just watching him thinking, you're not taking in any of this, because yeah. you're replaying, instead of being in the present moment, he was just replaying his anger and running that circuitry over and over and over and getting himself more and more wound up. And I really wanted to say to him, you don't have to live like that. You can consciously choose to stop running that circuitry mm-hmm. and feel peaceful and look around you, be in the present, look at all this amazing, people would like kill to be here in your position. And it's like understanding that, coming to realize that I love, and I just think it's changed my life, and it's something that I now am so interested in that I want to kind of go into it myself. So I did a course in Christchurch recently, like a week long. It's kind of like an intro to coaching, and that was really cool to meet like other people who were getting into coaching as well. And then I met Steph mm-hmm. here in Raglan, and I'm joining one of her programs where I want to learn more about NLP. It's kind of like through group coaching. She mentioned it on her when she came on here, Evolving with Intention, it's called. Yeah, I just really want to learn more, and I've met loads of coaches as well, so I feel like I'm really being guided into that space because I've met so many different coaches. I know how I used to be and how I used to feel in my body, and it would just be nice to help other people to know mm-hmm. that you can change that if you want to. And also leaning into my intuition rather than living so left in my left brain and thinking about everything and being really in my head. Leaning into what my body is telling me, like my gut, my intuition and how it feels, and actually using that to guide me. Because if you heard of like your internal compass, mm-hmm. you have an internal compass that kind of helps guide you, leaning into that. It's really exciting, and I'm really kind of looking forward to see where it kind of takes me.
Loved your example with the Angelus hat. That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And it's so true. Like, if you're angry, you're the one sitting there with your negative feelings, mm-hmm. you know, giving yourself a hard time. It always sounds so much easier to say it, but letting go of those feelings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, they can run their course, but also there's something where if you have an emotion like anger, it actually only takes 90 seconds for that to run through you. If you're feeling it after that, it's because you're feeding it with your thoughts, in your brain you're running that over and over again, mm-hmm. so actually after 90 seconds you can let it go. It doesn't mm-hmm. it doesn't have to hurt you anymore, and obviously this takes time to hone that. You could mm-hmm. it's taken me like a year to kind of start rewire my brain and think of things in a different way, but yeah, I found that really empowering to think like, wow, 90 seconds and it's flushed through you. Like mm-hmm. those hormones are flushed through you and they're done. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to keep replaying it. But if you keep replaying it, then you keep feeling those emotions. But also, the other thing as well is that if you're giving out a negative energy, that's the energy that you're going to attract back mm-hmm. to you. Whereas if you're giving out a kind of positive, happy, joyful, peaceful energy, that will come back to you. Mm. And I find that really amazing as well, because you see that in action as well. Like my friend, for instance, who was traveling in the South Island, she really like made it. She was traveling by herself and she made it her kind of mission, I suppose, to kind of put herself out there and to like actively go up to people and talk to them mm. in campsites. She felt uncomfortable doing it, but she kind of said, well, you know, I find out quite quickly if it's, you know, if we get on. Mm-hmm. That's how I became friends with her, because she came over Aww. And just out of nowhere started talking to me and this other girl. And then we became really good friends and spent loads of time together. But anyway, she did that and it started coming back to her. Mm-hmm. You know, people would start actually coming up to her and talking to her and like making mm-hmm. friends with her. So yeah, what you put out, you get back, which mm-hmm. I think is amazing.
And I feel like the world would be such a better place if everybody understood that they're responsible for their own feelings.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. That you can't control what happens around you, but mm-hmm. you can control what's happening with you. And mm-hmm. yeah, you don't have to hold on to anger and stress and bitterness and all that kind of stuff. You can mm-hmm. you can let it go and still be happy and at peace. And yeah, it's really empowering.
That's already really wise words for the ending of this episode. I usually ask my guest for an advice. So if someone's listening and they would like to be more flexible in their work, maybe okay. try the digital nomad lifestyle, is there something you would tell them?
I would just lean into how you feel. If it feels right, really like sit with it in your body. And if it feels right, go for it. Because also all decisions are reversible. So mm-hmm. if you leave a job, you can always get another job. I mean, I know like obviously it can be hard to get jobs, but I just think you only live once, so mm-hmm. give it a go. And if it doesn't work out for you, well, that's given you the information that wasn't right for you and you move on to the next thing. But who knows what other door it could open for you.
Mm.
So yeah, but yeah, really focusing on how it feels in your body, I think, when making that decision. If it feels light and like something's opening, go for it.
That's so true. And I feel like don't be too afraid of change. Change is usually a good thing.
Yeah, someone yeah. said to me on the life coaching course, they said, feel the fear and do it anyway. And I thought that's a great yeah. saying. Yeah, because everything's going to be scary at some yeah. point. Or everything's going to be feel scary at first because it's new.
Mm.
But yeah, if it's not right for you, you'll know soon enough. And then that's information that you can use moving forwards onto whatever is next for you.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in today, Christy.
Thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
You've been listening to How to Make It Work with me, Annika. Catch us live on Raglan Community Radio every Monday at 12:30 or listen anytime on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Until next time, keep finding your way and keep making it work.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.